Your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 252, the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. And beginning with the 9th verse, we'll read verses 9 through 12. We'll read these verses responsively. And as always, we will stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found them in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this service, for this day. And we thank you especially for our church family. Thank you for those who visit with us. We pray that you'd give us a collective heart and mind to hear the Word of God as it's preached by our preacher. Thank you for him, and thank you for that message which you've given him for us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is now, according to the clock, upstairs is 11:42. As I always tell you on Lord's Supper Day, I will not be preaching past 1:45. And everybody that says amen, amen, is a lying hypocrite. But I'll not be speaking past 12:10. And you will not be here past 12:30. So I promise you that in, 47 minutes from now, you'll be at least by that time and probably sooner. You'll be on your way. And I promise you that I'll not be speaking more than 27 minutes. I want to speak this morning on the subject, we shall fail, but we shall not fall. We shall fail, but we shall not fall. I read for you, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to preach. I wish I had 2 hours to preach on this subject. I have just a trifle over 25 minutes. So I pray you'd help the people to listen intently, and may I speak clearly and carefully and lovingly and in the power of thy Spirit. Amen. Sit up straight. Teenagers, hush. Children, listen. Senior citizens, be awake. And let's take a few moments to think about this passage. Moses had watched it many times during the past 40 years in the wilderness. He, no doubt, remembered what God had told him 40 years before when he said, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, no doubt many times Moses had looked up and he had seen what I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes and remembered that God had told Moses that he would bear him on eagle's wings. Here's what he saw. As Moses, for these 40 years in the wilderness, this is what he had seen. He had seen a mother eagle watching over her eaglets, let's say, in the nest here. He had seen that mother eaglet feed those eaglets carefully. No doubt she had gone away from the nest to gather food, to bring the food back to those little eaglets. The mother eaglet not only would feed them, but then she would let them sleep peaceably. And so all of a sudden you have this little nest of eaglets here, and the mother eaglet has gathered the food and has fed them, and now they're sleeping there peacefully in the nest. She lets them sleep. Lovingly, she watches them. And then she does a strange thing, the Bible says. A very strange thing. Here are her little offsprings. Here are her little eaglets, well fed and resting there and sleeping in the nest. They have been hid under the shadow of her wings. They have taken refuge under that shadow. They have felt safe and secure neath the wings of their mother. They dwelt in the secret place. Under her wings they trusted, and then the strangest thing happens. Here is this, don't leave me now, here is this little mother eagle, and here are her eaglets, and she has gone to gather food for them, and brings it back, and feeds her little offsprings. And there they safely rest. She puts her wings over them and protects them from the storm and protects them from the enemy as they rest. And then suddenly she disturbs their slumber. This is a strange thing. She suddenly disturbs their slumber and she pushes those little eaglets over to the edge of the nest. And she pushes the microphone also when she does it. She pushes the little eaglets toward the edge of the nest. She prepares to push them out of the nest. Can you believe what she's going to do? She loves them. She has gathered food for them. She has fed them. She has brooded over them. She has protected them. She has given them rest. And they sleep so peacefully when all of a sudden she takes and pushes those little eaglets toward the edge of that nest. What is she doing? She's about to push them off out into space, out of the nest. But the Bible says something very interesting, that she broods over them. Now, if I had been writing this, I would have had her brooding while they were in the nest, safely in the nest. But the Bible said she pushes them, and she pushes them to the edge of the nest, and then she broods over them. Now, why does she do this? Because she does not want to do what she's about to do. She does not want to push them out of the nest. But she knows that she must push them out of the nest. For if they learn to fly, they cannot stay in the nest. So she pushes them to the edge. Why? Because she loves them, but she loves them so much she does not want to do what she is about to do. And then, from the eerie and rocky height, she pushes them, wishing there were some other way. And out these little eaglets go. I cannot act an eaglet very well, but out these little eaglets go. And they flutter their wings. They're trying to fly. And they fall through the space. And they're unable to fly. It seems so cruel. Then, by the way, then enters the father eagle. The father eagle goes down where those little eaglets are falling, swoops under them, and spreads his wings, and those little eaglets are caught on the wings of the father. Now, why the fear? Why the heartache? Why the scare? Why the failing? Because she's teaching, or they are teaching, these little eaglets how to fly. And then, the same thing all over again. The food, and the sleep, and the stirring, and the brooding, and the pushing, and the failing, and the father keeping them from falling, and then brings them back to the nest. And then the same thing all over again. Again, you have the food, and the sleep, and the rest, and the stirring of the nest, and the brooding, and the pushing, and the falling, and a father coming back again. And then again and again, the food, and the sleep, and the rest, and the stirring, and the brooding, and the pushing, and the falling, and the failing, and the father keeping them from falling. This procedure is repeated over and over and over and over again. And one day, the little eaglet learns how to fly. And the father no longer has to swoop down and bear the little eaglet on his wings, because now the eaglet has learned how to fly. And then he too can brush back the wind and master it. God is saying to these Israelites, he's saying to these Israelites, this is why you've been through so much. This is why the bondage of Egypt. This is why the wilderness wanderings. This is why the enemies. This is why the struggle. This is why the cold nights and the hot days. God is saying, that's what I have been doing to you. I have to push you out if you learn to fly. For you see, God says to his people, don't leave me now. He says, his people, he says, I have something big for you to do. Hey, God never treated the other nation like he did Israel. Show me where God ever sent the Moabites through hard times like this. Show me where God ever sent the Ammonites through time, or the Egyptians through times like this. Let me tell you something. Brother, if you've got to go through a struggle and God teaches you how to fly by your floundering and being afraid, you mark it down. God's got something big for you to do. But if you don't want to do anything big, just stay out of the kitchen. If you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. But I promise you this, if you ever do anything for God that amounts to anything, God's going to have to teach you how to fly. And sometimes he'll push you off the nest. And sometimes you'll flounder and fail. But I got news for you, bless God. You may fail, but you'll never fall. I said, you may fail, but you'll never fall. Those little eaglets may fail and try to fly and fail as they fall through. But they will never fall. Why? Because it's not their job to keep from falling. It's the father eagle's job. And my heavenly father holds me in his hand today and keeps me from falling. God is saying to his people, you're going to give the world a savior. I've got to teach you how to fly. God is saying to his nation Israel, you're going to give the people, the world, my Bible. I've got to teach you how to fly. You're going to give to the world the church. The first church members will be Jews. And you're going to give the world the first church. And I've got to teach you how to fly. You're going to give the world the gospel. The Great Commission will be given to your race. And you're going to spread this wonderful gospel and the blessed old book. And the story about the Savior and the New Testament church, you're going to give all that to the world. And because you're going to give all that to the world, I've got to push you out of the nest and I've got to teach you how to fly. This is why I must push you from your nest. I have not, God could have said, I have not disturbed Egypt. I have not disturbed the Philistines. I have not disturbed the Moabites. I have not disturbed the Syria. I have not disturbed the Samaritans. I have not disturbed the Ammonites. I have not disturbed them. But Israel, you're my people. I've got something big for you to do. I've got a Bible for you to give. I've got a Savior for you to give. I've got a gospel for you to spread. I have a church for you to start and perpetuate. I've got something big. And God says, I'm going to push you over to the edge now. And many of you, you're right here right now. And God does not want you to suffer, but God's got to make you suffer if you're going to do anything for Him. Let me say it again. If you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. Moses, as an old man, stands to talk to Israel. Listen to me now. Moses testifies. He says to his people, I know what that eagle represents. For God told me 40 years ago he'd bear me that way. Please let me testify as Moses did. Moses testified and said, for 40 years I watched over the sheep. In the wilderness. For 40 years I knew the blazing sun and the midnight cold. For 40 years I knew the danger of the reptiles and the wild beast. For 40 years I was alone. I know what it is for God to let me fail. But thank God He's never let me fall. He says to the Jews, you wonder why you had to go to Egypt? You wonder why you had to be in bondage? You wonder why you had to go 40 years through the wilderness? You wonder why you had no restroom facilities? You had no kitchens? You had no houses? You wonder why for 40 years you got manna from heaven and water from the rock in Horeb? You wonder why for 40 years you suffered like no nation suffered? Because I've got something for you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me testify now. As a kid preacher, I was like the young man in the office yesterday. I said, What do you think you ought to do with your life? He said, I want to be a preacher because I like to preach. Well, who wouldn't like to blow their stack 3 times a week? But that's not what it amounts to. For 40 years, I, as Moses, have led you as he led the people. And God put me, stirred up the nest and put me over here at the edge of the nest and said, now, Jack, I let God call me Jack. He said, Jack, I got a big church for you to pastor. I've got a big school for you to found and lead. I've got a set of schools and a group of schools I want you to lead. I've got a nation I want you to try to influence. I want you to send missionaries all over the world. I want you to send preachers all over America. But you can't do that unless you learn how to fly. And God said to me as a kid preacher, I've got to push you off. I don't want to. And God pushed me off, and I failed him. I tried, but I couldn't fly. And finally, thank God, the Heavenly Father came down and said, I'll put you back in the nest again. And then again he said, I've got something for you to do. I've got a nation I want you to try to help. And I've got a big church I want you to build. And I've got some schools I want you to build. And God pushed. But before God ever causes you to suffer, he broods. He does not want you to suffer. He does not enjoy seeing you suffer. But he knows that if you do something for him, you've got to learn to fly. And he's going to have to push you out someday. You got big feet. Did anybody ever tell you that? So an old man, Moses, stood before his people and said, I don't want to see you suffer. But you got to. I do not know when I've seen our people suffer like they're suffering now. I don't know when I've seen as many people suffer. And God knows I don't want to see you suffer. I hurt when you hurt. I weep when you weep. I cry when you cry. I mourn when you mourn. And I die when you die. I thought this morning, as those men are walking down the aisle, I thought of Oliver Douglas. And how I miss him. I thought of his little wife. Oliver, a deacon here for many, many decades, a faithful servant of God. I thought of him. And I spend my life with the suffering. This week, I don't think I've ever seen as many suffering people as I've seen this week. Ms. Hiles will tell you. I come home a wreck. I don't want to see you suffer. But I've got some news for you. No suffer, no Bible. No suffer, no church. Jews, no suffer, no Savior. No suffer, no gospel. There is not a church in this country that has paid the price like the old First Baptist Church of Hammond is. But bless God, we learn to fly. And that's the way you learn to fly. So I say this morning, I know what I'm talking about. I say to that young man, another young man, sure, I'd like for you to be a preacher, but there's a heap more to this thing than just blowing your stack three times a week. God's going to have to push you toward the nest. And you're going to have to look down from the heights to the jagged cliffs and say, I don't want to go. And the Heavenly Father is going to say, I don't want you to go either. He broods over you. And then he says, I've got to do it. I don't want to do it. I've got to do it. He pushes you over the cliff. And you try to fly. And you can't fly. And you're afraid. It's like some of you are this morning. Dozens, scores, hundreds of you this morning. Broken hearts. Heavy loads to bear. Children who've discouraged you or broken your hearts. Husbands who've forsaken you and run off with a whore somewhere. It's a suffering group. But God has something for you to do. Don't run from it. Don't shrink back from it. Don't say, no, I can't take it. Oh, yes, you can take it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You can bear whatever burden God places on you, you can bear it. But God doesn't want to, but he has to, if you learn to fly. 3,500 years later, another old man stands behind a pulpit as Moses did 3,500 years ago. And as Moses said to the people, this is what God had to do to me so I could learn to fly. And this is what God has had to do to you so you could give the world a Bible, a Savior, a gospel, a church. God's going to use you. I sat one day with Dr. John Rice in Johnson City, Tennessee, across from him in a restaurant. Dr. Tom Malone was going through some horrible heartaches, terrible burdens and heartaches. Dr. Rice was there. When Dr. Rice meditated deeply, he always put his fingers like that on the table. I said, Dr. Rice, what are you thinking about? He said, God, you're going to use Dr. Malone. I said, what do you mean? He said, because he's getting him ready. He's getting him ready. Back yonder, World War II, I joined the paratroopers. You wouldn't believe what they put us through. You guys and you sailors. You don't. The brownies do more work than you do. I'm talking back where servicemen were men. I'm talking about 26-mile hikes without stopping. I'm talking about 10-mile run up and down hills with combat boots on without stopping to take a break. I'm talking about 90 push-ups with a full field pack on your back. I'm talking about 120 push-ups without it. I'm talking about 25 push-ups with just your right hand. I'm talking about treating you like a slave. A bunch of dirty, wicked sergeants. If I ever saw one of them, I'd kill him right now and tell God there's accidental death. But they used to say to us, you fellows, if you can't take this, you can't take the battlefield. And young preacher, if you can't take this, you can't take the battlefield. Young preacher's wife, if you can't take this, you can't take the battlefield. But bless God, there's a heavenly Father who comes down and unto you lifts you on his wings. And you may fail, but you won't fall. And so, testimony of my life. He feeds me, comforts me, disturbs me, broods over me, and pushes me off. And I'm scared when he pushes me off. I'm a little scared now, 73. My health is not real good. In fact, lately it's been a little worse than usual. I'm Dr. Bob Gray back there. His college president, Dr. Gray, is scared right now. His voice. He can barely preach anymore. He preached with me the other night on a Monday night. Supposed to preach Tuesday morning and couldn't preach on Tuesday morning. Dr. Rice used to say, you always run faster when you're scared. Sometimes I wish the Lord let me stay in the nest. I'm an old man, I say. Why can't I just stay in the nest a while? Why the battles? Why the lawsuits? Why the burden? Why the load I carry? Why? God's saying, I got some things I want you to do still. I'm not through with you yet. I've got to teach you how to fly higher and higher and higher and higher. And the higher you fly, the more times I've got to push you out of the nest. The more times I've got to watch you when I don't want to watch you as you fall and flounder and fail. Let me say quickly in closing, don't stop failing. Don't stop failing. Do what the little eaglets did. Get up again and try to fly again. If you say, if you fail, get up again. Okay, you flunked out of college. Get up again and pass. Okay, you got expelled from school. Get up again and go back and make a success of your life. Thank God, He lets me fail, but He never lets me fall. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So, decide whether you want God to use you or not. If you want God to use you, when you get pushed out of the nest, cancel your pity party. As you're floundering, trying to fly and can't fly, don't forget there's a heavenly Father who will come beneath you and bear you on His wings. He'll let you fail, but He won't let you fall. Get back up when you fail until you learn to fly. I won't tell the whole story. You've heard it often. But recently we were in Texas on one of our little trips we take, showing some of our contest winners my roots. I love to take them there to Ann Arbor Street, the 1600 block, where I got my first bicycle. Where Daddy had, we couldn't afford it, but I was 6 years old. My daddy found an old bicycle torn up and thrown away in a garbage can. He pulled it out of the garbage can, assembled it, and gave me the old discarded bicycle for Christmas, 1932. There's a hill there in front of our house, one block long, on Ann Arbor Street, 1600 block. I get up on the top of that hill and try to ride that bicycle to the bottom. It ended on the right side of a bridge in a creek. I got up, pulled it out of the water, walked up top of the hill, tried again. I ended on the left side of the bridge in a creek. For 2 or 3 hours, I did nothing but fall. I failed and I failed and I failed. I met personally every fish in that creek, every crawdad in that creek. I knew them by their first name. But that's the way I learned to ride a bicycle. I failed and I failed and I failed. And I failed 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 and I failed. And I failed 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 and I failed. And I failed 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 and I failed. And I failed 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 and I failed. And I learned how to ride a bicycle. Keep on trying to fly. The Heavenly Father's going to come down and bear you on His wings. Try again. Try again. Realize you cannot fall. He won't let you. Don't rebel at being pushed out of the nest. Just keep on flapping your wings. But one day, I'm flying. I'm flying. I'm flying. I don't like this song, but I'm going to sing it. I almost said it. I'll change it to I'll fly away, fly away. Oh, glory. It will be worth it all. But it will when you learn how to fly. I look at this great crowd this morning, and this is an off Sunday, a weighed down Sunday. I look at this great crowd this morning, and I say, thank you. I didn't enjoy it much while it was going on, but thank you for disturbing my nest, pushing me out, and making me fail. But thank you 10,000 times more that every time I fail, the great wings of Almighty God come and bear me up on His wings. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for wanting to use us. The Jews never figured out why you chose them. Neither have I. But you did. But you had to put them at a Red Sea.